The 88th Academy Awards will take place this Sunday in Hollywood, California, and there are really wonderful pictures up for Best Picture, as well as interesting nominations and snubs. And when it comes to this time of year, I just love it, and I love talking about it with our next guest. Thelma Adams is an Oscarologist. She is an acclaimed film critic. She has written for just about everybody, including most recently Vanity Fair and Hollywood Reporter. Am I correct on that?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And her second novel, The Last Woman Standing, a novel of Mrs. Wyatt Earp, will be published July 1st.
Yes.
And we are more than a little thrilled about that. And hopefully you'll come back. And
I will definitely come back.
Talk to us about that. And so it's worked for everybody from New York Post to Us Weekly and covered the award circuit for Yahoo Movies. And it is a thrill to have you on our program. I think I ask you this every year, but an Oscarologist is someone who is interested in figuring this stuff out.
Yeah, we've been just figuring it out. Goldderby.com is kind of the gold standard of people who just pick what will win and what won't. And, you know, we all know that we have good years and bad years. But if you're doing your own Oscar pool, go to goldderby.com and you can see, who I pick and who Tom O'Neill picks and who all sorts of people, Mike Hogan from Vanity Fair and Peter Travers from Rolling Stone. And we all kind of, if we've been doing this so long and now it's become this crazy big industry.
I was talking to A.O. Scott of the New York Times
about his book on
Monday about criticism, and I asked him about the effect that awards have on criticism and what effect criticism has on awards, and he was not overly kind to to the industry as far as that awards are a good representation of what is good, and often does not fully represent what many critics like yourself think is the best. But it is a system, and this is the top of what we have.
Well, it's a separate system. I've got to say, and he sits on the throne of the New York Times,
right?
So he has a lot of power. He also tends to write towards other critics, not necessarily to all of us guys. I will say, if you look at this list, yeah, I can say that there are movies that aren't there, but damn it, Amy is there. The Winehouse documentary is there for Best Documentary. The Nina Simone documentary. There are so many interesting movies included. I think the tendency, yes, this has been the year of Oscars so white and Oscars so male. And the tendency is to think Oscars so stupid. And I think that's a mistake, because I do think there's a lot of wisdom in that circle of people, and it is now ever expanding. There are more there, and I'm not Pollyanna. I know how hard it's going to be in the future. I just think we're not talking about, I wouldn't poo-poo this group. I mean, look at the movies, right?
I mean,
there are some movies that made me crazy. They were so good. And even Mad Max Fury Road, when I saw it last spring, and it came out and it just ripped from beginning to end. I'm happy to see it here.
What is it about that film that struck a chord that other action films have never really struck before, to be taken seriously? Not only taken seriously, but taken seriously. I mean, the rule of thumb is that a film has to come out in late October, November, December,
right,
to even be thought of. So you have a film that comes out early in the year,
right,
and people remember it, and it's an action movie. Is it because of the lineage? Is it because of George Miller? Is it because of the franchise as a whole?
There's been a prayer all along by the Hollywood studios that this expansion to 10 movies, Best Picture, was going to include more blockbusters. What we have in Mad Max is all the things you said. It has lineage going back to its rough and dirty Mel Gibson years. And yes, I'm going to say Mel Gibson because there would not have been Mad Max right. if there hadn't been that crazy, beautiful man who he was at that time. One of the reasons, George Miller is just a great director. It had a great script. Now, there was a lot of talk of Mad Max so feminist. And you and I know that I'm as feminist as they get or as willing to talk about it. I think what's great about it is not that it's feminist, but that it has fully realized female characters. So you have a movie that just works, that just speeds along, that's beautifully put together, that's smartly directed. Many people don't know George Miller was a doctor.
Yeah.
You know, so... It has all these elements that actually work.
Because at its core, it's a road movie.
At its core, it is just a road movie. It's just about getting from here to there.
Right.
But in the script is embedded all these things about oligarchies and people of power and those on the
loyalty.
Citadel and loyalty and individualism and... If you talk to Miller, he would say also how we commodify everything, including people, which is issues of the sex trade and human trafficking are also embedded in this movie. Fantastic, right?
So will it win Best Picture?
No.
Probably not. But it probably will win every technical award or darn close to it.
I have it. If we're looking for surprises, George Miller may get a Best Director. He may upset. But if you look, there's a lot of awards that Mad Max will get. Best Film Editing, Best Makeup, Best Production Design, Best Sound Editing, Best Sound Mixing. It could get visual effects. Star Wars might get thrown that bone. So there's a lot of, so it could get 4 to 6 Oscars without getting that top shelf.
So let's talk about Best Picture then. Is there, from what I see, from looking at all that everyone is writing about this, there isn't really a sure thing.
Right. And I adore that you really do your research. You do.
I will tell you, I have seen every, with two exceptions, there is one foreign film I was not able to get a hold of. And there is one documentary short, and everything else I have seen.
Okay. Bless your heart.
There you go.
I mean, they are saying now, and I think I'm speaking a little loud, there's now the front runners appears to be The Revenant. Now, I'm in denial.
Okay.
You know, sometimes, I'm very much pretty much unbiased on all my other picks. But I would just say I cannot believe that The Revenant will win. And maybe I'm wrong. And if you're doing your Oscar ballot, you'd be in good position to say The Revenant will win. Of these movies, of the three top, which are Spotlight, Revenant, and The Big Short, I just can't let go of Spotlight. I think it's such a great film. A fantastic topic. At the same time, it's a little quiet. And I think the older Academy members will think, okay, well, we've seen All the President's Men, or we've seen these kind of movies, and this is only of that type. For me, it was just such a great ensemble. Tom McCarthy, director, actor, top of his game, fantastic script, and a story that we should have all known that was groundbreaking about the Boston Globe and the church.
I have that film down as on my ballot. And then you get this weird thing. This is kind of a side conversation, but this weird thing of, so we are, just to define it, these are the films that we would vote for or that we think are going to win.
There's always that thing of, I would say right now, mostly I'm talking about what will win.
Yeah.
And what I want to win and what will win.
Right.
You know, sometimes I'll kind of go, But, sometimes you have to suck it up and just say The Revenant is going to win. But now, I'm still hoping for Spotlight.
Now, typically, Spotlight is what would be considered to be a darling by the Academy, the type of movie that the Academy would love, for all the reasons that you mentioned a few moments ago. And so what does The Revenant have going for it other than you would have possibly a director winning twice back-to-back, which is unprecedented,
right.
In Iñárritu with Birdman and now Revenant. And also, and I think we'll talk about Sure Things in a second, but it seems that Leonardo DiCaprio is the front runner.
Yeah. You know what?
That's a given.
That's just a given. And it's one of those things where he's been up for it. He's such a Susan Lucci. Has to happen this year.
Well, and it's a hell of a performance.
And it's a hell of a performance.
It seems like it certainly goes that he deserves it. So,
right.
With all of that said, then for Revenant, what do you think's driving people in perhaps in that?
Well, I've got to say, Iñárritu is just, can I say this word? Yeah, I guess I can say this word, kick-ass. He's just a kick-ass director.
Yeah.
And he's so fluid, he's so flexible on screen. And this was he went back to back. He did Birdman. He got his Oscar. He turned around and he went up to British Columbia. And this was they almost died on this shoot. I mean, it was everything that could have happened did happen. And then he's just virtuosic. Now, as a woman, I'm like, okay, he's virtuosic. I'm not really that interested in The Revenant. I just am not. But okay, you know, what can I say? But I do respect his. And also, the thing about Iñárritu is he is an incredible talker. I think as good as he is as a director, his ability to articulate what he's trying to do is pretty amazing. And he's really thinking about cinema in an interesting way, which gives him an added plus. I think George Miller, you talk to him, and it's hard to get a sound bite.
Yeah. And then I want to move on to the other categories,
yeah, sure.
Of course. But Big Short is the other one in the three, which was a really good movie. I found it to be, I thought it to be very clever. In talking about a difficult, dense subject. It was, it had a little tongue-in-cheek action to it. And yet, if I had to choose, you know, that or Spotlight, I would go with the one that had a bit more heft and importance.
Right. Heft and importance. And I think what's great, and, you know, Big Short is really funny and fun and timely. And it's just as timely in many ways as Spotlight. There's nothing timely about Revenant. There just really isn't. But I think it's a good movie. And in some ways, you have to say it's just a good movie. I don't really see it as an Oscar movie.
Mm. So let's move to, well, we said Best Actor, probably a sure thing for Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, I just don't see Trumbo. Bryan Cranston, everybody loves him. Trumbo went nowhere. Matt Damon, fantastic in The Martian, but it was The Martian. I don't know. Fassbender was hurt very much by the fact that Steve Jobs just tanked immediately, tanked.
Yes. Although I did like that movie.
Yes, I did too. And then there's Eddie Redmayne. Okay. He won last year. He was hugely charming. Deserved to win last year against Michael Keaton. It was very, very close. And so he's too young to get it again. I think feeling turned against the Danish girl in large part. It didn't get a best director nomination. It didn't get a best film. And
I didn't really care for it.
I didn't either.
Okay.
I didn't either. Yeah, I didn't. I love Alicia Vikander, and I thought she's the Danish woman.
Yes.
And the man who, I can't even say his name, Schoenaerts, you know, who was also in it, was very good. The costumes are fantastic. The look is fantastic. The movie itself, there were people weeping. Actually, there was one woman weeping in the screening I saw in Toronto. But I did not It left me dry.
Well, and also it's based on a fictionalized account of a real situation, mm-hmm. a real event. And so it doesn't, and it didn't even really get the fiction right, much less the truth. And so I felt that there was some buzzwords put in for more modern audiences that
right.
made it kind of ingenuous, but it still is.
Now that to me is an Oscar bait movie.
Yes.
And that's why I would be happy if Alicia Vikander, who really is a lead role, got Best Supporting Actress.
Best Supporting Actress going against Kate Winslet, Rachel McAdams for Spotlight, Rooney Mara in Carol, and Jennifer Jason Leigh in The Hateful Eight. I do have Alicia Vikander on my list, although it was tough because I loved the performance that Kate Winslet
yeah.
gave in
Steve
Jobs.
Kate Winslet may very well win it. Which leads to two big questions. Two movies that should have been at the top of the game and aren't, and it's fun to discuss them. One is Carol and the other is The Hateful Eight.
Okay. I'm ready.
You're ready. I mean, Carol, New York Film Critics Circle, Best Picture. Todd Haynes, fantastic director. Cate Blanchett, yet again, she just won. Fantastic performance. I think Rooney Mara is actually the better performance and could have been in lead. And yet, it stalled. It didn't get a Best Picture nomination.
Yeah.
It didn't get a Best Director nomination. Does that reflect the quality of the movie? Or does that reflect the internal politics of Hollywood?
It would seem to me in this case, perhaps the internal politics of Hollywood. While I would not, if it were on this list, I would have not put it on my ballot. I did enjoy the film immensely. I thought the performances were remarkable, and I thought that the story was wrenching.
Was wrenching. And I feel like it's a story. What's unique about it is that you really feel like this is love between two people, and it doesn't matter if it's two men or two women, a man and a woman. You see their love and that they cannot escape it, and cannot escape it in a very positive way. So I feel like Todd Haynes, Killer Films, in some way are being snubbed because of who they are and how they came up. And the Indie Spirit Awards are going to happen on Saturday, and I believe that they will get some recognition, hopefully a lot of recognition.
The other, Thelma Adams, by the way, is our guest. We're talking about the Oscars this Sunday in Hollywood, the 88th Academy Awards. And the other sure thing, it seems, is in the Best Supporting Actor category, Sylvester Stallone for Creed.
Yeah.
And I poo-pooed that until I saw the film.
Yeah, the film is great. Ryan Coogler, I mean, here's, talk about snubs. Ryan Coogler is a great director, great young director.
Yes.
And this is a, how do you get Soul back into the Rocky series?
And it's, what is lovely, I thought, is it brought a new audience into it, but
agreed.
Also paid wonderful homage to the film that originally came out in 1976 that I grew up with.
Right.
And had such respect and reverence for it, as well as for the actor who created that role. And I loved it.
I really loved it.
I loved his performance. I thought he did a great job. I mean,
had him on the show?
I have not. No, I've not. I have. I will say that I thought Mark Rylance's performance in Bridges Spies is extraordinary.
Right, but Mark Rylance, I mean, the best performance of the year is in. Oh my gosh, the TV show.
Yes.
I want to say
Wolf Hall.
On Wolf Hall.
Yes.
I think that there is no better performance, even if you look at Leo, whatever. There is no better performance than Mark Rylance in Wolf Hall that everybody can see on PBS, not the Broadway.
Right. Christian Bale also in that category. Tom Hardy, Mark Ruffalo in Spotlight, and Mark Rylance in Bridges.
I adore Mark Ruffalo.
Isn't he great?
I think he's a great person and a great soul, and he's a fantastic actor. And he, you know, I feel a little bit bad that he's in the middle of the pack here, because you have to do so much stumping for these things, and it's, and all that time is time that he's not making his next movie, and he's fantastic.
So that brings us to...
And he's upstater.
Yes, he's one of us. That's
he's
right.
He's one of us.
So that brings us to Best Actress, mm-hmm. and the last was sort of the big awards and
right.
That we need to discuss. And Kate Blanchett, Brie Larson, Jennifer Lawrence, Charlotte Rampling, and help me.
Saoirse Ronan is good enough.
in Brooklyn. And I've heard it even by her Saoirse. Pronounced different ways, so I want to make sure I got it right. I have Brie Larson down on my list, although I did love the performance in Brooklyn.
Yeah, I loved the performance in Brooklyn. And I think that Brie Larson is going to win. It seems like everything is leading to that. And I'm going to say something that, what can I say? I never wanted to read the book Room.
Nope.
I saw the movie and I'm like, okay, this is interesting. It's bifurcated. It's two parts.
Child abuse is non-entertainment.
Yeah. I just thought, you know, I just didn't get... There are people I know who love this movie and are still wishing for there to be a Room win. Never going to happen.
Yep.
I thought when I saw Brooklyn, I wept. I felt like, wow, this is just such an emotional movie, such a movie about female empowerment, only because it's a great female character.
And a simplicity that is beautiful.
A simplicity that, and she is an actress. And, you know, go back and see. If you want to see a great Saoirse Ronan, you can see Atonement. Can see Hannah, the action movie that she's in. And she is wonderful. I think that Blanchett people are split because some people loved that performance and some people thought it was too mannered. Jennifer Lawrence in Joy, that movie just tanked. And Charlotte Rampling in 45 Years. It's funny. Are you as much of a BBC junkie as
yes.
I am?
Yes.
I constantly see her. She's in London Spy.
Spy with Ben Whishaw.
She was in another series that I watched recently where she had a big role with a big range. And I always enjoy her. She's fantastic. Great. Good on her that she's got the nomination.
I agree. And that is a tough film to watch.
It's a tough film to watch and a little bit, it's another day.
Right.
Oh, no.
It is. It's a days of the week thing. Yeah. And it goes through and you're like, oh, wow. And it's the thing that I love. Watching her is amazing. Of seeing these close up of her hands and her face and the beautiful acting that she does in that. But
watch her in Broadchurch.
Oh yes,
because she has this great performance as a lawyer. And I think you know what I missed in 45 Years. I wanted the mystery. I wanted the dead body. I mean, I wanted there
you wanted
to
something
be...
more in that attic other than pictures.
Exactly.
We're just about out of time. I do want to get to, one of the things I enjoy about doing this, of seeing everything, is that it gets me to see things that I probably would not normally have seen. The one film that I saw that knocked me out, because it's the type of film that I don't like, although I very much like the writer and the director, and that is Alex Garland's Ex Machina.
What a movie, wasn't that?
Oh, my goodness. I love that film.
I know.
That's up for Best Original Screenplay. I would assume Spotlight will win, although...
I think the Spotlight will win.
And should, but boy, that is...
What a movie that was. And Alicia Vikander... Oh, she, you know, I'd met her a couple of years ago, and she's Scandinavian. Is she Danish? I'm not sure. But she is a power. She is she's very smart. And I think we're going to see a lot of her in American movies and also in foreign language movies.
We are out of time. I just want to tell you this one thing. Which is that I've been doing the show for a very, very long time. And one thing I've realized is that a half hour is a really, really long time. And unless I'm talking to you. And then it just flies right by.
Thank you very much.
Very, very quick.
We have a lot of fun.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Pleasure.
Always a pleasure.